turning to the story in our bulletin this morning about how the two men who died tragically in Dublin's Grand Canal, both men drowned. One of the men was originally from Kerry, 49-year-old Donal Scanlon, originally believed to be from the Ballybunion area. The other man who died tragically was Alex Warnick, who's 42 and who's understood to be from the US. And Donal Scanlon was living in Dublin for some time. And it's understood that both men had been living in tents on the canal banks. The cause of the deaths continues to be investigated. It's understood there are reports, this hasn't been confirmed, but it's understood that one of the men got into difficulties in the water. The other man tried to save him. And sadly, both men lost their lives. Now, this morning we're joined on the line by Una Burns of Novus, which supports people who are homeless or at risk of homelessness throughout Ireland and has a presence here in Kerry. Una, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Tressa. Good morning.
Una, often when we talk about these stories about people living in tents on the canal banks, and when we're talking about numbers of people, or there's a danger that you can lose sight of the humanity behind it, and that each person had their own life and their own history and their own families. And when these tragedies happen, it really makes you realize how desperately sad it all is that people have to live like this, and of course the way in which they lost their lives as well, these two men.
Absolutely, Tessa. First of all, I'd like to just pay our deepest condolences to the two deceased men and to their families and their communities and the many devastated people that they're going to leave behind. As you say, sometimes with rising numbers in homelessness, we can get very caught up in the numbers and forget the human story behind every single person that's experiencing homelessness in Ireland today. And I think these men have really experienced a sharp end of homelessness. People who are rough sleeping are probably the most vulnerable in terms of exposure to the elements and very severe weather conditions, living outside at risk of being attacked and assaulted. And now obviously these men were camping very close to the canal in the Dublin 4 area of the city, and got into difficulty, as you said, in the water, and their lives have ended now, and they've died in tents away from home, both men, away from their connections, their social connections and their community. And it's deeply tragic and just highlights the risks that are associated with rough sleeping in Ireland at the moment.
And the solution to homelessness, is it simply building more houses?
Yeah, it's great that you raise that issue, because I think we, again, when we talk about the numbers, we can become very disheartened and you think, God, there's no solution to this, and it's rising every month, and that may be true, but look, we lived in an Ireland for a long time where we didn't have high levels of homelessness, and we certainly, until very recently, had very low numbers in rough sleeping, and I'm very confident that we can get there again with very collaborative responses by the statutory and the voluntary services, like organisations like Novus working with the Department of Housing and right across government to find solutions. Absolutely, the high rate of homelessness at the moment is certainly tied up with the lack of housing, particularly the historical lack of housing, where we're kind of trying to play catch up now. So providing additional housing will absolutely alleviate the housing crisis, and the recent Housing Commission report has given us a really strong blueprint to do that. We need to accelerate our housing stock, and we particularly need to accelerate our housing stock in social and affordable housing. And this will take less, take more pressure off the private rented market, which shouldn't be kind of providing the solutions for social housing. We need to have a targeted social housing solutions so that, renters and people in college and stuff can avail of the private rented market. And so that is a really critical element. And I think something that everybody is really committed to doing, and including approved housing bodies like ourselves, that want to play our part in providing a solution of long-term housing. Also, of course, a lot of it's not just homelessness is not just about housing, and it can be more complex. And people often who experience homelessness and access services like our own have had, you know, very complex traumas in their childhood and into their adulthood, and they need those wraparound support. So programs like Housing First are an excellent example of where you're combining the housing with those intensive supports to give people the very best opportunity.
Can you give a concrete example of Housing First works in a tangible way?
Yeah, so like internationally, it's a great way to look at Housing First. So in America, particularly, it starts in New York, and again in Finland and Europe, Housing First has really reduced levels of long-term homelessness. So people that would have been years in and out of, say, hostel-style accommodation, rough sleeping, and going through, you know, A&E, emergency services, you know, maybe prison, probation and all that, living really successfully in their own house with wraparound support. So that support might be relating to life skills, money management, maintaining a home, and also providing psychiatric and mental health support to people and connecting them to their community. Because very often when you leave homelessness, you're leaving all your friends and your connections behind. So trying to make those new connections or maybe reconnecting back in with family would be really important. And here in Ireland, that has worked really, really well, with about 90%, at least 90% of those Housing First tenancies remaining successful. So that's a really, really important blueprint. What we need to do, I suppose, is increase the numbers of Housing First that we have, so creating more opportunities, and then ensuring that we have those wraparound supports so people can get all those supports that they need to live independently. And naturally, over time, those supports will reduce when people build up their own capacity and resilience and their own life skills.
Just looking at the most recent figures, Una, in terms of homelessness, at the end of May, I think these are the most recent figures, 14,159 people, including 4,316 children, were without a home in May. You're saying initiatives such as Housing First work. Do we need to also, or maybe it's already been done, instead of, is there a danger sometimes in terms of looking at a huge problem, a huge crisis, a huge shame of homelessness, kind of treating people as almost as if they're the same, and just looking within groups, there are different reasons as to why people may fall into homelessness or become homeless or at risk of homelessness?
Absolutely, and we know that people that come from, you know, impoverished, disadvantaged communities who have experienced trauma in their childhood, maybe grew up in a house when nobody, the parents were experiencing unemployment, that those people, and people maybe, especially young people who have experienced daycare, people from minority groups, travellers and other minority communities are at higher risk of homelessness than other communities. So it's really important that we're targeting in an upstream way. So we're looking at people before and looking at those young people before they come into homelessness and trying to support them and providing those targeted responses so that we are preventing people from becoming homeless in the first place. And I think, you know, along with additional housing, along with, you know, increasing our Housing First targets, we do need to be looking at those upstream and prevention models and increasing our investment in those, so we're preventing that trauma of homelessness in the first place. Usually, homelessness isn't random, Trasa. Usually, there is markers in people's community, in their lives, in their childhood, that would put them at higher risk of homelessness. So we know that, and we should be targeting those, so preventing people from becoming homeless in the first place.
Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for talking to us.